Oh, yeah, we're live at Capital One Arena, where tonight the Wizards and Warriors are going to do battle. We still don't know if Steph Curry's going to play. Anthony, you haven't seen anything, have you?
I have not seen anything just yet.
I keep refreshing Twitter. If Dave didn't know, then nobody knows. But I do believe that Steve Kerr just spoke to the media or is speaking with them very, very, very recently, so, or he's speaking basically now. So, doors are open here at Cap One. We're outside section 106, 107 if you want to come say hello. We're on the air until 6:30 when we give way to Maryland Hoops here on the Team 980. But we do this each and every Monday. It is time for our pick six at six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the pick six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level and build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, so we pick six players on Fridays that we think are going to be the most important to the Commanders game. In this case, we actually started with a couple of giants, including...
Number one.
Dexter Lawrence. How about this? The Commanders faced 19 pass rushes from Dexter Lawrence. They allowed zero pressures. That is the first time this season, Anthony Haney, that Dexter Lawrence has zero pressures in a game.
Yeah, it seems that two of his quietest games of the season have been against the Washington Commanders. I mean, we talking about a guy that came into this week anyway, you know, leading the NFL in sacks. And for us to go out there and limit him, basically, again, make him a non-factor, I think that you got to tip your hat to the offensive line. I think we talked about it a little bit earlier. But, you know, everybody coming into the season had so many, you know, questions about how this offensive line was going to hold up. We didn't really make any splash moves. But Tyler Biadasz, man, he's playing like a top five center. And I don't have the numbers and metrics, but he's out playing some of the centers I know that get paid more than him. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, and they signed him on a 3-year deal. So, yeah. Sorry, Tyler, you're not getting repaid for a long time. He's playing his face off. He owns Dexter Lawrence, for whatever it's worth. I feel better saying that without jinxing anything now. But, like, he's been playing him for years. He's never allowed a sack against him. It's pretty impressive stuff from that Washington offensive line in general. And they held the team that had led the NFL in sacks and still does lead the NFL in sacks to zero. As for the other giant that we had circled.
Number two,
Malik Nabers. He got going a bit in the second half, and it was, I thought they do a good job with him. Like, just to be like blunt, one, he's very easy to do a good job with because he's really, really good, and they make sure that they get him some targets. But whether it's key situations, I mean, that fourth and two, I feel bad for St. Juice there. That's a terrible call. Yep. On the spot. He did. BSJ was all over him, kept him short of the line. They give it to him, whatever. But they get him on one of those crossing routes. They hit him a couple times off play action where they were able to suck the linebackers in. But ultimately, Nabers never gets like loose. That one was the longest one. 9 for 59 was the number for Nabers. And considering he had like 15 catches for 100 million yards in the first one, like, they kept everything short. Like, if you want to hit quick comebacks, like, fine, you can have your yards, but don't break a tackle, don't get the big one. And they contained him on the big one, and that's a big reason why they won the game.
Yeah, and I think also in the first matchup, we just missed too many tackles, which was why he was able to run after the catch in that first matchup. But yeah, we came up, we were short tacklers. That's what we wanted to see out of this defensive unit. And they, man, I tip my cap to these guys, man. Even though I still have my questions.
Yeah, you got to give it to him. I mean, Sanders, it's funny because everyone loves Mikey, and we love Mikey. You know, he's on the show last week. Great dude. But he gets beat the same amount of time as Benjamin. The problem is neither of them's the number one corner. So we'll see what Adam Peters does in the next, 23 or 21 hours and 55 minutes before the trade deadline. Of course, we'll have full coverage tomorrow here on the Team 980. Number three, please.
Number three.
Dorrance Armstrong. He had a couple big pressures in this game. One of them gets wiped off the board because he winds up hitting Daniel Jones in the head. I'm not going to lie, Anthony, like, I'm big protecting the quarterback, and there's a couple hits yesterday, like the Brian Branch hit that wasn't on a quarterback. The fact that you got people like Ryan Clark, and I love RC. I think he's one of the best analysts that we've ever seen on television talking football. But he is a defensive player defending defensive players. That was such an ejectable hit. Dude just launches with his head right into another dude's head. You can't use your helmet as a weapon. Like, we're protecting people's brains here.
Yeah.
I am pro protecting players the best we can. I'm also pro, hey, if you're a defensive end, you can't, what was, not Ed Too Tall Jones. Maybe it was Ed Too Tall Jones. He used to club dudes.
Oh, Deacon Jones.
Deacon Jones. That's right. Yeah, Deacon Jones used to, got my Jones, my 1970s defensive end Joneses mixed up. Deacon Jones used to just bop, slap dudes in the head.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We can't be doing that. That's not okay. Putting your arms up and running into a guy, that should be allowed. I didn't like that call. It's the correct call. I think that's one that we can change the rule on.
Yeah, they've made this league such a quarterback league, quarterback friendly. They're going to do everything they can to protect it. And I think it was a little, a little soft, but it is what it is. Outside of that, I still think he had a good game. I saw that he was the second highest rated defensive player for the team. And maybe his rating came down a little bit because I think he was the defensive end on Daniel Jones' first big run on the read option.
I don't remember. That would have been his side. I'd have to go back and watch it. But, I mean, overall, the zone read is something that they got better at throughout the game.
Yep.
They were more definitive in forcing Jones to hand off, and they trust things inside. They got one that was like a 10-yard gain that was a zone read that he gave it. But by and large, like, they did a good job. They rushed well. I mean, Jones, there's only so much that offense does, and they did a good job. Dorrance played well, for sure. All right. Number four in our pick six at six.
Number four.
We had at number four Austin Eckler, who we picked because we knew that Brian Robinson might not play, but we also knew that the Giants' run defense was bad. And Eckler kind of got back to being more of Eckler in this game, and it's something to watch, I think, moving forward. If B-Rob is out, I think Chris Rodriguez becomes the number one guy in terms of being like the down-to-down back, based on how he played yesterday. He's the most direct substitution. But at the same time, like, you got to make sure you get Eckler his touches. And there's a couple times where he just comes up big as a receiver. And he has obviously the big play on 3rd and 9 on the second to last drive of the game, where he gets 28 yards. He's got another screen that goes big. Like, just getting him the touches, and he's kind of the piece. Here's how I put it. The offense works because you threaten every blade of grass at all times. And when he's on the field, he is such a threat to show up somewhere funky that it really emphasizes that.
Yeah, he just had – he's so electric. The splash plays that he's had, I think one of the plays you were forgetting to mention, he had like a 20-yard inside zone or right up the gut kind of run.
Yeah.
So he had some huge explosives yesterday. And I think on the Chris Rodriguez front, it was interesting to see that they actually did turn him on the last drive of the game.
Like, sure did.
Game is on the line, and we're giving Chris Rodriguez, who just got elevated, the ball in the fourth quarter, game on the line. So I think that was definitely something interesting. And he went out there, he carried, I think, what 52 yards?
Yeah, 52 yards, averaged 4.7 a carry. Had a heck of a game. All right, it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980 going through our pick six at six. And, Anthony, have you looked at Terry McLaurin's stats from yesterday's game?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so you know that he didn't have more than 20 yards receiving.
Nope.
That is the loudest 20 yards any dude will have in NFL history, what Terry McLaurin did yesterday. He was our number five.
Number five.
And a couple of touchdowns, just... I got to confirm with you as my person who's in the loop on all things. The mask, scary. That was a scary Terry moment, right?
Yep.
Pull the mask down.
Uh-huh.
Boo, Deontay Banks, who suddenly wasn't talking anymore. Weird how he wasn't talking anymore. And I think it continues to reinforce / cement the mantra that Cliff Kingsbury talks about all the time. Players, not plays. And in big moments, red zone, end of half, who's they're going to? Terry McLaurin. The matchups were better other places, so Noah Brown winds up being the leading receiver on the day. They get Diami the catches, but big spots, red zone, end of half. Where's Jaden looking? He's looking at 17, and that's a really good place to look.
That dude's 17. When it comes to contested catches, Craig, I'll never truly understand it. It's not like Terry's the biggest guy.
No.
And he just.
But he has the biggest heart, and that seems to matter.
He just always seems to be able to make the big play, the biggest moment. And he got the last laugh against Deontay. Two receptions, two touchdowns on just three targets. And he didn't necessarily even need to have a big outing just because we had so much success on the ground, or, you know, we were able to hit people for screens and they were able to create. So it didn't necessarily call for it. I think a game like the Steelers, we might, you know, be having a different discussion because we'll probably need more of Terry.
No, for sure. But I will say this, Terry, like, everyone thinks Terry's a great blocker because he's tough and he's willing and all that kind of stuff. There are points where Terry's blocking is let's call it wavered. At times, I think it has been better and better and better and better over the course of the last couple of weeks as he has really bought in and probably been coached up. Like, there's probably some stuff where Bobby Ingram's been able to say, or, you know, maybe Bobby Johnson, like, who knows which coach it is, has been like, hey, hit this block this way. And it's continued to be more effective for him as a blocker. He was always willing. He's just gotten better at the actual skill of it. All right, last but not least. Actually, not last, because we have an honorable mention this week in our pick six.
Number six.
All right, Frankie Louvu, who was impactful in this game. There was a play in the second quarter, where New York goes on that big, long 16-play drive.
Yep.
And they come out the next drive to start, 6:15 to go. And they run an RPO, and Louvu crashes. And so Daniel Jones is like, oh, there should be a throwing lane there. Let me throw behind him. Louvu gets up, tip ball. All of a sudden, they're in 2nd and 10. Zone read for 2 yards, 3rd and 8. Incompletion. Jeremy Chinn on the pass breakup. 3 and out. Just like that. And it's those kinds of impact plays, from some of the pressures to some of the big hits to some of the, like, batted balls, like Frankie Louvu. I don't think this was his best game by any stretch of the imagination, but he just continues to find ways to make plays, and that's what you're paying the dude for.
Yeah, I just love his energy and effort. He jumped off sides yesterday, and I wasn't even mad, Craig, because he's done a great job all season long anticipating, you know, the quarterback's count. And then, you know, being able to jump him. They were being smart for once, and they got him. So I just love his energy, his effort, and we'll always appreciate that.
For sure. And honorable mention. We don't have the big voice guy saying honorable mention. That would be fun if we did. We don't. But Anthony, you wanted to make sure that we got Brandon Coleman in there on Friday, because we got the injury report, and last second you're like, hey, he's going to have to play the whole game. Wow. PFF 89.2 pass block grade for Brandon Coleman. He played 62 total snaps, and most of his career percentage-wise, obviously 100%. And he allowed zero pressures against Brian Burns. Not only that, he continuously, like, made Burns a complete non-factor in this game. Brandon Coleman was awesome. And I've definitely seen some of the O-line nicks on Twitter being like, hey, it looks like not only did the Commanders get their quarterback of the future in this draft, they might have gotten their left tackle of the future as well. It's a pretty good start for the Adam Peters era.
Good. Oh, my gosh, Craig. Such an understatement. That is insane. Stalwart left tackle and your franchise QB? Man.
And there's still going to be goobers on the internet who will leave comments like, oh, I would have taken – I can't believe they didn't take a tackle in the second round. Well, Johnny Newton continues to play well. That's the guy they did take. Yep. And they might have gotten a better dude in the third round than other teams took in the second. Which is not to say that no one's allowed to criticize Adam Peters ever. Just know if you do that it might come back to make you look very silly in the long run. All right, it's the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980. We're live from now a very busy Suddenly Capital One Arena ahead of the Wizards and Warriors tonight. And I got good news for you in your Steph Curry jersey. It does look like Steph is playing tonight. So he's been questionable. It does look like Curry's going to play tonight, which is going to make a lot of folks happy here at Cap One. And honestly, Anthony, I want to talk about this next. I think it's going to make the Wizards happy too, because I think this is a team that doesn't mind a challenge. So let's talk about the game that we are on hand here to see tonight next. But first, Let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa.